Testing, 1, 2. Good, good, good. Okay, whose birthday is it? I cannot hear all that. What? Who? One at a time, please. Chelsea is. Tyler. Okay, gotcha. Chelsea and Tyler's birthday's today. Terry Greer's was yesterday. Your birthday's today?
Terry Greer's was yesterday.
Yes, Rhonda's today too.
Is anybody 100?
Anybody else? America's birthday was yesterday. Wow, this is awesome.
That would be something.
All right, let me read some scripture to you. And also, if you use post-it notes in your Bible like I do, be careful, because when I was pulling one off that had been there for several months, it tore my page in my Bible. So that's not a good thing. I tried to fix it. So just, I'm telling you to be careful. If you use a post-it note for reference, you know, don't leave them in there a long, long time, because they may mess your Bible up. You don't want that. Okay, Psalm 25. If you will, stand with me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed that transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. And we're here today to learn about the ways of the Lord and for him to show us his paths. Because how many of you know his paths are better to walk in than our paths? Amen. Amen. We do have a prayer request. We want to remember Lisa Joyce. She is dealing with double pneumonia, and we'll probably get someone to stand in for her today when we do have that time of season of prayer over people. And also, next Sunday, I'm excited about this. It worked out. I tried, and it worked out. Dr. Carol Elaine will be with us next Sunday. Yes, I really like this lady. I think she lives it. She's good. She's prophetic, and you don't want to miss her. She's a precious lady. She's over the CTN Ministries Christian Television Network in Las Vegas, hosts a lot of shows there, doing a lot of things. So she's right in what they call Sin City, being a light. Amen. And what a light she is. What a beautiful young woman she is. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate the birth of America and to celebrate all these precious birthdays in here today. Happy birthday, America. Happy birthday to each and every one of you. God bless you. I'm here to receive, and we're ready to praise and worship you, God. So let's do it, church. Everybody said, amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb. Till I met you, I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious. Mercy has saved my soul. All your freedom is all that I know. The old man knew Jesus when I met you. You call my name. Out of the darkness. save my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. Sin was heavy, chains break from the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, shout for freedom this morning. Come on. I needed rescue. My sin was healed. But chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now you're this morning, give him a praise.
Amen.
Somebody shout glory to God. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Come on. Oh, my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Jesus, and every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giant, for I know how the story ends. Oh, yes, I know how the story ends. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. You to put your right arm up in the air this morning. I want you to declare your victory today in Jesus' name. Come on. I declare my victory. Victory through the blood of Jesus. Oh, victory over every enemy. Yeah. Victory. Take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, you take it, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. And you turn it for good. You take.
You take what the enemy meant for evil. And you turn it for good.
Come on.
Oh, you turn it for good.
You take everything, Lord.
You take what the enemy meant for evil. And you turn it for good.
Yeah, you turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see
victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see
victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs. You, Lord,
I see my victory, Lord.
Victory, I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see a victory.
I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Victory, Lord.
I see the Lord and his train fill the temple. I see the Lord, he is high and lifted up. I see the Lord and his train fields the temple. I see the Lord, He is high and lifted up. Angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. Angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. I see the Lord, and His eyes are flaming like fire. I see the Lord, and His hair is white as snow. Angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. Angels cry, holy, holy is the Lord. Angels cry, holy. Angels cry, they cry, holy, holy is the Lord. Somebody cry holy in the house, come on. Angels cry, oh, they cry holy, holy is the Lord. And the temple is filled with His glory. And the temple is filled with the glory of God. Angel came and He touched the coal to my lips. My guilt is gone and my sins have been forgiven.
Holy, holy is the Lord.
finally shout out to him this morning. Had every right to stand there at a distance, but you wrapped yourself in flesh and to me. Why would I need the proof of your existence when your mercy is the air I breathe? Oh, when your mercy is the air I breathe. I know you're not far away. God, you cannot be contained. Heaven is where you are. Jesus, I call on your name. You can do anything, anything. Heaven is where you are. Heaven is where you are. I can relate to the thief who hung beside you and received a gift that he could never earn. Wonderful grace, you can make it all new. Let your kingdom come in all the earth. Let your kingdom come in all the earth. I know you're not far away. God, you cannot be contained. Heaven is, heaven is where you are. Jesus, I call on your name. You can do anything, anything. Heaven is where you are. Oh, I know you're not far away. God, you cannot be contained. Heaven is where you are. Jesus, I call on your name. You can do anything, anything. Heaven is where you are. Heaven is where you are. Right here, right now, you cannot be contained. Heaven is where you are. Jesus, I call on your name. You can do anything, anything. Heaven is where you are. Sing it to him. Heaven is where you are. Oh, yes, it is. Heaven is where you are. Oh, just lift your hands up and praise him again today. Come on. Give him a shout of praise and victory today. Thank him for it.
Amen. Amen. If our ushers will come, we'd like to receive the tithe and the offering today. We are trying to save a lot of money to get this land, get an entrance.
Hey guys, next Saturday we're going to be doing a benefit, leaving the church, and then we'll be coming back to the church. Motorcycles, cars, trucks, jeeps, it don't matter. We're raising money for JW. He's having to pay medical bills out of his pocket, so we need to get together and help him. Just show up, donate if you don't want to go on the ride. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. How many enjoyed yesterday? How many are cooled down now after yesterday? I think it took me all night to just cool down. I said I was really on fire, man. This is like, amen. But I would really appreciate all the people who made that happen yesterday. And the hard work that went on behind the scenes, and Cherie and Tim for getting those fireworks, and I hope it shook all the county really good. It sounded pretty good to me, except for that one that got away. I thought that woman, she wouldn't be able to mow her grass for 3 weeks. Kind of scorched it. I said, they'll think a UFO landed. I kept looking to see fire was going to come out. And Daryl was over praying, let it burn, let it burn. But it was a great time. Praise God. It was a great time. And I'm telling you, man, those slushies were so good. Austin, yeah. And he came over and worked. And Lord, I don't even know what time he got home. I come up, he had lights up, flags, and you know. But we appreciate him doing that, you know, as well. Because it was just great. Praise God. Amen. And we need to celebrate. Somebody said we need to celebrate. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, actually. I was just kind of had all this stuff rushing through my spirit, and that's why I just need to try to calm down a little bit about, you know, just exactly, you know, what, how to minister, what to minister. I told Deborah, said, I think I will just exhort. And then, you know, sometimes preachers will say something like, I'm just going to be short this morning and preach longer than they ever have. So I'm not going to say that. So I'm not even sure about the exhortation part. So I have some things written down that I felt like the Spirit of the Lord gave me yesterday. And so let's go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 1, and then Acts chapter number 16. And it seems like these verses are miles apart, but they're not. Galatians chapter 5. That's in the New Testament, by the way. Acts is too. And thank you for being here this morning, not being gone on vacation. Amen. Amen. No service tonight, by the way. I'll probably go home and pass out, to be honest with you, in front of the air conditioner or something. I was telling someone yesterday, I said, back in the 60s, my dad, because we grew up not having air conditioning. And so my dad, he went and bought this air conditioner. It looked like it was this wide. Anybody ever seen one of those about this deep? I think it was like 25,000 BTU, 26 or something like that. And it's sort of like those movies you see, like real nostalgic stuff. I remember when that thing came on, the whole house shook. Boom! I was like, my God. And every time it would go off, you know, it would just, man, my dad would sit on that sofa, and he'd sit in his boxer shorts and a white beater. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? He's right out of classic, right out of the 50s and 60s. He wouldn't care who came. Neighbors come in, how y'all doing? He's laying there in his boxers and a white beater. He's in heaven, so he can't say anything about what I'm talking about right now. But that was just Dad. And I said, well, people wear less than that today, so he didn't have anything to worry about. And so anyway, man, he would lay on that thing, and I was just a little kid. I'd get up and we'd lay behind, we'd watch wrestling. I think the Bolos were back then, and Rip Hawk and Sweet Hansen. And somebody's probably saying, who? Ric Flair was coming on the scene after that in the 70s, but... Somebody said, who's he? Nature Boy. How about that? Is that getting any closer? But anyway, and then it had Maximilian Villianich, you know, one of the wrestlers, and the, you know, the mask ones are real popular. But anyway, my dad, he would get so tickled, he'd fall out on the floor and just laugh, beat the floor. And, but man, that air conditioner would come off, the lights would dim. Boom, whole house would shake again. He said, man, that thing is putting out snow, boy. I said, yeah, Dad, it is putting out the snow. I was wondering if the power's going to go out. It was the main thing. You know, so like, it did feel good, though. Amen. Are you there? Yes, it was good times. Amen. Didn't have riding and demonstrations and all that stuff, you know. It was very peaceful time. Slept with the door unlocked and the screen door up and all. You know what I'm saying? Just real peaceful times. And all the neighborhood, you know, when you got ready to play ball, everybody played ball. Everybody went swimming. Everybody had a good time. And very peaceful times. And I appreciate Patrick County because it's a lot like that in many, many ways. Amen. And I'm glad I'm not in New York City. Amen. All right. Well, let's read from the Word this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that wherewith Christ has made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's read that again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then in Acts chapter number 16, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors, not some of them, all, everybody say all the doors. All the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. Let's read that again. And at midnight, that's indicative of that place in your life that things are getting ready to shift. Things are getting ready to change. It's like when the darkest hour comes. How many knows that darkness cannot last but so long? And it's never really totally dark. That's why God put a moon, and that's why he put stars. It speaks about Jesus. The darkness can never, everybody say never, overpower him. At the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. That's important, unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. See, that thing that holds you captive is going to shake loose and break as you praise him. Somebody say amen. See, I'm just now learning myself. That's why I'm just taking my time. I'm like, and immediately all the doors of the prison, all the doors were opened, and everyone's. Now, remember, this is connected to everybody heard them sing. Who were they singing to? I can't hear you. Who were they singing to? Singing to Jesus. They sang to Jesus, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, everybody say immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands. Everyone's bands. Yeah. Everyone's bands. Not just a few. Somebody said, how many people were in the prison? More than two. More than two. Father, thank you today for your word. And Father in heaven, I need your help and I need your touch, because you want to do something in people's lives today. We are thankful for the power of the cross, the power of the blood, the power of your holy word. We're thankful for the power of the mighty Holy Ghost. We need you to come and breathe into our hearts and minds today. Blow away the fog. Blow away the confusion. Take away, Father, all the fear, all the doubts, all the things, God, that the enemy has placed there to hinder, to draw attention to. And we ask you right now in Jesus' name to move in our hearts, God, and in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask it. And everybody said, amen and amen. Yes. Now, probably this story in the Bible in Acts chapter number 16 is one of those stories that sticks with you. If I were to ask this morning how many have heard that story, I would say 99.9% of the hands would go up in here and say, I have heard it. James tells us something in chapter 1, verse number 22 of his writing that is very important for us. He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The word is no good unless you apply it to your life. That means that when you get in one of these circumstances, if you want the chains to break and the bands to be loosed and things to shift in your life, then you're going to have to apply what that Bible says in Acts chapter number 16. And so here Paul and Silas are, and I'm not going to be real long this morning. It's so sad. I love it. Praise God. But Paul and Silas were in Philippi preaching the gospel. And so there is this oracle there that is to a false god. And the meaning behind it is this girl comes out and she begins to follow them and she begins to cry out. Now get this. Now Paul and Silas are there preaching the gospel, but they're going to prayer. I said, they're going to prayer. How many ever got ready to go to prayer meeting and hell break out? How many before you came to church this morning, hell broke out? Something happened to the baby, your wife fussed at you, your husband looked at you and said something wrong, and or the neighbor looked at you while you were backing out the driveway, you backed over the garbage can, you ran over last night's fireworks, or something happened before you got here today. I heard somebody tell me, said, man, I'm telling you, the devil tried to stop me this morning, but praise God, I'm determined, I'm here in Jesus' name. Amen. And so it was this oracle to this false god, and this girl was under a spirit of possessed, the Bible says, with a spirit of divination. The Greek word there is python. And so it is indicative of a serpent or a dragon. But what this is that the oracle is the person that you go to that you want a prophetic word from, someone who's going to prognosticate something to you and give you some information. So the people of Philippi looked to this girl for information. They wanted a prophetic word. And listen to me, it's important in the body of Christ where prophecy is so abundant to be careful who is speaking into your life. That's why a rule of thumb, all prophecy is supposed to be judged. Because if it's good enough to give to an individual, it's good enough to be heard by people that are seasoned and rooted and grounded in the things of God. Not just some outhouse prophet that comes along and says something over you and runs away. That's what I like about Dr. Hammond, is that what he does is when you give a prophetic word is that you take a recorder in your hand, and when you give that person that word, you record it and you put it down and you give them the tape that it's on. Why? Because if you're going to take the time to invest a prophetic word in somebody's life, you need to take the time to put it on tape and invest something else into their life that they can have to say, you told me a lie. Oh boy, it puts things on a different trail. Or that you told me the truth. I thank God that over all the years I've never had anybody came back and said, man, you told me the biggest lie when you called me out and you spoke over me. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank God. But I've had people to walk up to me and said, you probably don't remember me. I'm sitting there going, oh God, who's this person? You know, who is this? Lord Jesus. What's their name, God? What's their name? Says, oh, you spoke this to me oh so many years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And man, everything that you said came to pass. And I just wanted you to know that. And I meet people just about everywhere I go that walk up to me, whether sometimes in a mall, sometimes in a restaurant, sometimes they come to church, sometimes it's where we visit a place or something like that. Man, I thank God that it's under edification, exhortation, and comfort. But this particular situation is that the whole town, now the Bible said that she had masters over her, or actually people that would take care of her. Now just think about this. People that had her hired on their staff to give direction or prophetic word, and they made lots of money by it. It's like the palm hand when you ride down the road that says, come on in here, you give me so much money, and I'll read your palm. And I hope you didn't get up anytime this week or look on your computer to find out how your day was going. Because you've got a book right here that tells you how it's going to go. You don't need to seek a diviner, a soothsayer. Because all they're after is your wallet. See, I don't even know why I'm saying all this, but I know it's important. And so they made a lot of money by this young lady. And so here Paul is, he's hanging out with his people. He's there to preach the word, and he has a following that's there. And he goes out, and this lady comes out, and she says, these men are men of the Most High God. They're going to show you the way of salvation. And inside, Paul's thinking to himself, you know, have you ever had somebody speak to you, and it just grinds on you? Even though they're saying something that's right, it's just something on the inside that starts gnawing away at you. And you're like, my God, why? Just God is getting under my skin, bothering me. There's a reason for that. Amen. Somebody wanting attention. Somebody wanting to get in your inner circle. Somebody wanting to become familiar with you. Somebody wanting to find out things, since though they can find it out from somebody else and come and prophesy that over you to try to impress you. See, it's important what I'm saying right now. God doesn't need anything. He's got it all. He's got all the information, every word that we ever need. He has it, all the information. She came out daily to do this, and God, he begins to seek God about it. Because have you ever prayed and said, God, I sure wish that you'd get this person out of my life. Anybody ever prayed anything like that? Lord, why is this person harassing me? Why is this going on, God? Lord, I just ask you to deal with them in Jesus' name. But you know what God said? My grace is sufficient for you. He's really saying, Paul, my anointing upon your life, the Holy Ghost inside of you, those gifts that I have placed in your life, they are sufficient to get the job done that you need to do. And I'm going to tell you what, you're asking me to deal with it? Son, I'm telling you to deal with it. There's sometimes in our life when the devil's trying to speak some soothsaying, divining mess or prognosticate something over us and speak things into our life. That's why when people come up to me and say certain things, see, I know how the devil works on me during the week, and I know the stuff that he's trying to put in my head. And when somebody walks up in agreement with that demonic power, I know that you came from the enemy camp, because the Holy Ghost of heaven is going to speak exactly what's going to build me up, lift me up, give me strength, and bless me. And when I walk away, honey, I want you to know that I'm going to have a deposit inside of me, and I'm not going to be like I was. Anybody can look at a depressed person and say, God says you're depressed. Well, how's that going to help them? God says you're tired. Really? Oh, what a word. Woo! Wow. God says you got 3 children. Actually, I've got 5. I mean, some of this weird stuff that goes on in the body of Christ, we really don't need that. We need true prophets who can speak, thus saith the Lord, that can identify what the enemy is doing in your life and come to you and say, I know that the enemy, God says, has been harassing you and been working against you, but I want you to know the Holy Ghost of heaven is blowing a wind in your direction right now. He's going to blast away all the debris of darkness and of hell, and he's going to open up the heavens and rain upon your life, and your youth is going to be renewed like that of the eagle. Somebody say hallelujah, and you're going to walk out full of the power and the presence of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we're supposed to be healers, not destroyers. And so this lady is following Paul around. These men, Paul and Silas, men of the great Most High God, they do show you the way of salvation. And I love this part, because Paul got to the tipping point. Anybody ever been at the tipping point? You know, I always like to try to be nice to people. Deborah tells me I'm too nice to people. But there was a time in my life, I would just flat out just look in and just tell you. Sometimes I thank God I didn't have to deal with a whole lot back then. Because people, you know, you don't want to be mean, but sometimes I don't think it's mean. I mean, I think about what Jesus said, woe unto you bunch of hypocrites, you bunch of vipers, you bunch of this, you know. All this kind of stuff. See, Paul, he came to the tipping point. Everybody say the tipping point. The tipping point of the harassment of this young lady. What she was after was to exalt them before men. And she was wanting to exalt her gift and ride in their cart to get there. Come on, somebody. I want to tell you this morning, if you're going to be in the ministry and if you're going to serve God and you're going to walk with him, there is a price to pay. These mama call, mama sent people that come along, and these people that have been lied to tell them in their life that if you're going to be in ministry, that you're not going to have to pay a price, that is a lie, my friend. You're going to pay a price. When you get in ministry, you're going to pay a greater price. Because if you can't make it now and you can't get in the cut now, you're not going to make it in the future when all hell comes against you, and you've got to stand. Come on, somebody. Because when you read through Paul's life, it's, you know, we read about, oh, I want to be like Paul. Oh, you want to be beaten with rods? You want to be left for dead? You want to get caught up in the third heaven, but you don't want to go the route he went to get there. Beat almost to death. Oh, you want to be shipwrecked a day and a night in perils of false brethren and your own countrymen. You want to go through all the different stuff that Paul went through, because we see the highlights of him raising the dead and preaching the gospel and shaking cities and doing all these great things, but we have no understanding of what it took him to get there. Remember, he met a man on the road to Damascus that was a great burning bright light named Jesus, come on, that knocked him from his horse, and there his life was changed forever. Because what did Jesus say to him? He said, I want you to know God loves you, hallelujah. From here on, you're going to live in 5-star hotels. You're going to go to the best of places. You're going to be a rich man, and everything that you touch is going to turn to gold. Paul, Saul, then. Why do you persecute me? Isn't it amazing that he called him Lord right there? Because Paul had a zeal, he just had the wrong kind. And then all of a sudden he's there and Jesus says to him, he says, you're going to see how great things you got to suffer for my name's sake. Amen. Somebody say, he was called. He was anointed. And here he is in this situation. This girl is harassing him, but it's a demonic power. It's like Python. And Python does that to us because what Python does, it comes to wrap itself around you and squeeze the life out of you. And it harasses you daily. And it pulls you down daily. And it sends idiots along to tell you stupid stuff. Come on, somebody. And it drags you down. I was listening. Barry said he got a phone call the other day. It came from Jamaica. Said, how you doing, man? No, I actually didn't say it that way. He said he knew the guy was fake when he heard his voice. And he said, but the guy said some pretty rough old cuss words to him. And Barry said, what did you say? I said, give me that phone. I want to talk to this guy. What did you say? But isn't it amazing like that people in other nations will call your house. Say to I come in here from time to time. People cuss me out. Get on the phone. I say, I love you too. Bam. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to say, do you see that red dot on your forehead? You thought I was the opposite. But it's amazing how the enemy knows that when you're frustrated and you are tired and you are wearied and you've gone through hell and you're dealing with 45 things over here and 30 things over here, because Satan seeks that opportune time to come against you and he wants to work on you because his plan is to wrap around you and squeeze everything out of you so that there can be nothing there to walk in. Paul is frustrated, aggravated. He's there teaching and preaching, and you can imagine he's given out and he's given out and he's given out. And this is the thing about the church. They think men of God are just, you know, oblivious to bullets. Go ahead, thrust me through with a sword. Watch it bend when it hits me. Amen. Drive a nail in my hand, it'll bend before you get it in. I mean, you know, just crazy. I don't know what people think, but you know what? Men of God hurt and they get tired. And they get frustrated and they get aggravated. I'm going to tell you something. You can't minister when you get there. And you got to get in God's presence and you got to pray and you got to fast. You got to unplug yourself from people and idiots that want to say stuff like that and get yourself under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Just sit there and say, Jesus. And so Paul is there. This woman, every day she comes out. It's just like one of those annoying people. All of us have had them. Even though they come and smile at you, hey, I'm going to kill you. Because that guy told Barry he wanted to kill him or something. What did he? Yeah, it was bad. You don't have to say those words, but it's amazing. These men are men of the Most High God. They show unto you the way of salvation. I like that tipping point. Somebody say the tipping point. See, when you think that you can't go on and there's nothing else left in you, I'm going to tell you the Holy Ghost of heaven has an untapped supply of power and authority. And all he's waiting for is for that godly indignation to rise in you, that you're not out of vindictiveness and it's not out of hatred. But when you rise up, you're like the Apostle Paul. And finally, he looked at her when she said it. Then he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who I preach, come out of her in Jesus' name. And the Bible said that demon left her. And you know what? I can read between the lines, but I guarantee you she said, where am I at? What am I doing here on this sidewalk? What is going on in my life? As so many people that when they are delivered, they can't even remember what's been going on in their lives. This girl gets delivered from this demonic power. Now, what happens, excuse me, what happens right here is her gainsayers, her masters, man, they get mad. Because they take away their ability to make, she takes away their ability to make a living. Man, there's a parallel right here that I could go through with America right now. Because there's a lot of prognosticators. There's a lot of false prophets that have risen up that want to tell us that all of our history has to be destroyed. And it's an annoyance that when you sit down and you listen to it over and over on the television, it is meant to wear you out. It is the effeminate spirit. It is Jezebel working and moving, that spirit of Antichrist that's wearing down the saints, trying to get us to accept anything. That would have been easy for Paul, said, I'm just going to get out of here, man. I'm fed up with this girl. But I like his stand because he said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to preach the gospel. And my God told me his grace is sufficient. I'm casting this devil out. I don't know whether he told Silas that morning. He said, I believe today's the day. But they said, these men do exceedingly trouble us in our city. And so they all planned it out and they took them. And the next thing you know, they said, because we're Romans and you're here causing us trouble, they threw them in jail. But listen, what did the Bible say? After beating them with many stripes. See, sometimes doing God's will, we think, well, I was doing what was right. Hey, that don't qualify you to get a Cadillac, collect $200 and... It doesn't. When you name the name of Christ, get ready, baby. Get ready for persecution. All those who live, now you can name Christ you can have a good time, serve the devil, do all that stuff and call yourself a Christian, but that doesn't make you one. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? Suffer persecution. Paul and Silas were being persecuted. So after they had laid many stripes on them, they were commanded, they took them down and put them in what? The inner prison. And they put stocks on their feet. And see, that's what Python will do for you. Now, I can tell you this morning that when Paul reached out and touched that holy grail that belonged to the devil, Satan was not going to sit still to see what was going to happen next. Because Satan's sitting there thinking, man, I got this town, this city, exactly where I want it at. I'm in control of it. I'm going to take it down. I'm going to keep it under my influence. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to keep squeezing the life out of the church, out of God's people. I'm going to keep squeezing and squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. Because ultimately what he wants, listen, it's not going to do you any good to sit around and cry about your problem. You may be depressed. You may be beaten down. You may feel like committing suicide. You may feel like, my God, I can't put one foot in front of the other anymore. You know, why is it like this? And you may feel like, why am I here? What's going on with me? God in heaven, why? I can tell you right now, that is not going to work for you. What's going to help you is to crawl out of that hole that you're in, whether you feel like it or not, like I've had to do in life many times, is to get up and say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Just get up, because it's all you can do to say it. Just say, I plead the blood of Jesus. And then I'll say something like, devil, you are under my feet. You are not on my shoulders. I have authority over you in the name of Jesus. And I do not care what you're flapping your yap about or what you're trying to stir up in Jesus' name, because greater is my God in me than you that is in this world. In fact, there are more that be with me than those that be with you. And then I say, God of the angel armies of heaven, I need those reinforcements that you promised me in the word. See, I've got to let his voice get louder than the devil's voice that's speaking to me. And I've got to rise up in Jesus' name, because listen to what I'm going to tell you. Could it be for such a time as this that you've come to the kingdom? Maybe God has chosen to allow you to go through his university. You may have been to the university of men. You may have been schooled in the schools of men. I've been there. And they'll look at you and say, if you can do anything else, do it. If you can do anything else but preach, do it. If you can do anything except ministry, do it. At the time, I said, you're an idiot. But I love what my mentor always said. He said, it's not that you got to preach, it's that you get to preach. Because when I get to preach, I'm whomping devils and stomping them down and kicking them out of the atmosphere, pulling down strongholds. Come on, somebody. I may be down, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to get up. Somebody say amen. I may be kicked around a little bit, but I'm going to give up. I'm like a roly-poly thing. You know, when you hit it, it bounces back. It's not going to do any good to cry. What changes things is what they did. That is the game changer Oh, here they are. They come to that pivotal place. It was a pitiful place. If you're saying something about me being tongue-tied, I pray that God will triple it on you. You sound like Porky Pig. And so here, at the midnight hour, now they're in the prison for doing God's will. Now they've been beaten with many stripes. So I'm saying, what, 39 apiece? Probably. They're bleeding. They are bruised. They are inflamed. It's burning. They've gone through pure hell. And Paul is sitting there, looks at somebody. It's like when you have to deal with stuff as a man of God. Was it worth it? That's what the devil wants to say. Well, how'd that work out for you? I'm going to say, well, devil, the story ain't over yet. It ain't over till he says it's over. Because if Paul and Silas got beaten and they got 39 stripes apiece and their feet stuck in stocks, listen, the devil wants to stop your walk this morning. I can tell you right now, he wants to shut you down. That python spirit wants to wrap itself around your feet and cripple you so that you're laying there trying to move. If you don't have the operation of your feet going on, and JW can tell you this morning, he knows what it's like to have your feet taken out from under you. And if you're in a position like that in the spirit, it's not fun, because when Deborah had her knee replacement, you know, she couldn't get up out of the floor. I had to assist her and help. Yes, sometimes you still can't. You don't have any mobility. You don't have the ability to stand up, squat down, or get up out of the floor. And that's exactly what Satan wants. But in the spirit, he wants you down. He wants that pythonic spirit wrapped around you, and he wants to suffocate you and squeeze the life out of you. Come on, somebody. It could be that wife or that husband. You're right on the verge of divorce. Come on now. And the devil is pouring it on. He's breathing hot fire down your back. Come on now. It could be the kids giving you a problem. Maybe they've strayed or on drugs, or maybe you're being tempted by pornography or by alcohol, or maybe you're being tempted by a number of different things. Maybe you're at the place that you're so worn out that you just want to just start cursing, and maybe you have. And you're about ready to just quit. Here's a very real feeling. How many have ever just wanted to pack up everything and move to where nobody knew you? I'm running from my problems. When in fact, God wants to say, you better get to running. My blessing's coming on you, chasing you down and overtaking you. Come on, somebody. The devil wants you to think that he's bigger than God. He is not. Come on now. He gives beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Come on now. He appoints that to us that mourn in Zion. And so here they are. They're in prison for doing the right thing. Their feet are in stocks. If Python has itself around you, you can't do anything. I said you can't do anything. Scripture has a lot to say about your walk. Walk in the light as he is in the light. You have fellowship one with another. The blood of his son cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Walk while it is day. The night cometh when no man. It's important. Our walk in Satan does not want us walking right now being the light in a dark world in which we're living in. He wants the church so incapacitated, bound up, tied up, depressed, beaten down. There's more. Listen, I preach this gospel all over the place. And I can tell you right now, the church should not have the problems within that it has, because the church has sometimes more problems than people in the world do. Some, listen, they may be on their way into hell, but I'm going to tell you what, they're not dealing with a lot of things that we deal with. And I can tell you right now, we don't have to deal with the junk that we should be dealing with. What do you mean? We choose our battles. We choose the mess that we allow to come into our lives. And it's time to choose godliness and righteousness and truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's time to choose the freedom that Christ has made us free with. Listen, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You got to slip that yoke on. Oh, he may tempt you to be depressed. He may tempt you to be beaten up. He may try to drag you over there. He may try to pull you out in there. But you do not have to answer him. I know. Listen, it's a decision, people. It's a decision. See, I'm going to preach you out of this just in about 3 seconds. So here they are. Are you telling me to hurry up? Siri, what time is it? No, I'm just Alexa, where's the bathroom? Alexa, where's that hamburger I had last night? Some people can't get through the house. Alexa, where's the kitchen? Lord, Alexa says, they coming to lock you up. You've lost your mind. I mean, who wants one of those things in your house spying on you anyway? Get rid of that thing. Take your 9mm out. Let me get mine. No, see, you thought I had one on me, see? It's really a 380. No, I keep it. It's an AR-15. I got it stuck up and pull it off. I'll probably get 3 phone calls after church. I just did it. People, that is crazy. They're crazy. So here, Paul is, and Silas, and they're in those stocks, and they are, they're bound. They can't do what they were doing the day before. And so Paul's sitting there and he's thinking, Silas, we need to pray. That's a he has ascertained the right thing to do at that point. We need to pray. Look at somebody said, we need to pray. Why is it that Christians sometimes, when somebody says, you know, we need to pray, the other Christian gets irritated? What do you mean pray? I said, we need to pray. Que sera, sera. Say, no, we need to pray. We need to pray for the supernatural God that we served to intervene into the natural order of events, kick this natural power out of the way, destroy this demonic supernatural influence while he's in the process of doing it to expose what's going on in the natural, and then we need him to turn things around and get us out of it. I can't say that again. So listen to me. So here they are. Paul, they prayed and sang praises to God at midnight. This is where you have to apply this. Look at somebody say, make it applicable. You got to apply the word. Did that come out right? Applicable. Whew, thank you, Doug. Pat me on the back. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Applicable. And so there they are. I believe that they looked at each other and said, Psalm 18. I'm like, yeah, baby. Psalm 35. Psalm 91. Psalm 150. I don't know what they sang. They could have done the halals. But whatever they done, they cranked it up. Whatever they did, they cranked it up, man. I mean, they begin to sing. Listen, it's just like praise and worship. How can you have breakthrough in praise and worship? Get real. Really? And then here we are. Man, that devil, man, he been messing me all week. We got it up on an octave 10, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you one thing. If I could get my hands on them, I'd kill them. That's probably a 15 or 20. Isn't it amazing how we can lift our voices up in the wrong sense? And you tell me that you can't praise God in the midst of your depressive state or your turmoil or that pythonic thing that's trying to take you out, and all you can do is sit around and get angry and spout out and yell and scream about all the junk that's going on. Really what you're saying is how great the devil is. Are you listening to me? See, when they got in that prison, they began to talk about the word of God. They began to pray. I believe they prayed the scriptures. I believe that they began to pray. And they began to, then the Bible said they began to sing praises to God at the midnight hour. Somebody say amen. And they sang and they sang. And I like this because listen, the Bible said, how do you know that they were singing loud? Because everybody, somebody, everybody shout, say everybody, everybody in the prison heard them. Everybody, out of first floor to second floor, the third floor, I don't care where they were in that prison, they heard Paul and Silas singing. Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you, you have not praised God until everybody can hear you praising God. Come on, somebody. That means I want God to hear me, the angels to hear me. I want the devil to hear me. Come on. I want those evil things that think that I'm just beaten down and can't go any further to hear me praise God. I want them to know, hey, you're not my source. You're not my joy. You're not my peace. You're not my strength. He is. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to give him the glory and the honor. Let everything that hath breath praise God. And they begin to lift up their voices. See, this is the powerful thing about your praise. They sang praises to God at the midnight hour, that pivotal place. And so when they got there, they could have backed away. They could have stopped. They could have looked at each other and said, man, I hurt too bad. I hurt too bad. Man, I don't know about you, but my back's still bleeding. I don't know about you, but these wounds, man, they're inflamed. I can hear Paul now. Well, son, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get Miriam's tambourine and I'm going to start singing through the Red Sea because I want my enemy to know that God parted that Red Sea and he parted that Jordan River so that I could walk across it and be delivered. But he made it judgment for my adversary that would try to follow me through it. The devil cannot follow you through your praise, my friend. I want you to know that when you begin to exalt him, when you begin to lift him up, come on, somebody, how great that he is, how mighty that he is, how good that he is, how gracious that he is, that you just begin to proclaim that and you begin to sing that in the face of all that's going on. You begin to live, oh, God is good. When you praise him like that, everybody hears it. See, there's something that gets released when you start praising God. Mm-hmm. See, that's when you need to be on that Hammond right there. When you begin to praise God, listen, everybody say this with me. Say, my praise is going to shake the prison. Say this with me. Say, my praise is going to shake the prison. Say it again. Say, my praise is going to shake the prison. My praise is going to shake the prison. Amen. You think about when David went and got the ark and they made all those sacrifices and was bringing it in and they stopped. They shouted and they praised God and they shouted and they praised God. See, that's speaking to us about the presence of the Lord. They carried that into the river first. They carried that ahead of them so that the waters would part. They went down into the middle of it because we got to interject this since it's the 4th of July. When they got out in the middle of the Jordan River, he reminded them of what happened at the Red Sea. And he said, I want you to get a man from every tribe, and I want you to get them to go down into the bed of this river where it's dry right now, and I want them to gather out a memorial stone. Come on. And I want you to bring it out, and I want you to set it up. Why? Because that when your children come by in the years to come, that they say, what are these right here? They'll say they are memorial stones out of the middle of the Jordan River that your God backed up 15 miles, dried out like it was dry land, so that we could march across on dry ground. Come on, somebody.
See, it's important when you begin to praise God. I can tell you what some of the things that Paul did when he began to praise God. Father, I thank and praise you that in the name of Jesus, I remember, Jesus, when you met me on the road to Damascus, you said that it would be a hard thing for me in life and that I would get persecution, but you also promised me you would give me the Gentiles. I happen to be in a Philippian Gentile city. I'm asking you for revival. I don't want the devil Python to be cast out just once, but let the city be shaken. Let the town be shaken. Let the very center of hell be shaken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen, you think it was a bad thing for him to go to jail? God put him there because he said, that's where the evil's at. The devil worshipers, the murderers, the whoremongers, those are the ones in there that need me. He said, if we could get them changed, it's going to spread throughout the city. Lift up your voice and praise him. And so they begin to praise him. Oh, I remember, Jesus, you've raised the dead. I remember, Jesus, how that you delivered me through the storm. I remember you, Jesus, how many people that you healed. The mighty signs, miracles, and wonders. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was caught up into the third heaven. And I haven't stood before Caesar yet. I'm not done. Come on, somebody. Paul says, and you have to see it. You got to see this. God took him. What the enemy meant for his harm, we sing about it this morning. Took Paul and Silas, put them right in the middle of the inner prison. Stockaded their feet. Beat the fire out of them. And they began to praise God. I believe the Father looked over to the Son. And they looked at the Holy Ghost. They said, it's just about time. Yeah, that old hand's getting ready to start 12. And I've got, Paul's been praying in the Holy Ghost now for a long time. Matter of fact, I've already ordained that when that second hand hits that 12 and it strokes the midnight hour, that prison's going to start shaking. But it's going to not shake because of what's getting ready to happen. Their praise is going to shake the ground. Come on, somebody. When that hand struck 12, Paul and Silas were lifting up their voices to God in praises to him for his greatness. Somebody say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. They were singing. They were praising God, hallelujah, with everything within them. And the Bible said, there was a great earthquake. There was an earthquake. Somebody say an earthquake. Everybody heard them praising God at the midnight hour. Can you imagine those old prisoners looking at each other and says, man, you know, I've heard about those songs. I remember hearing stories about that God of Israel, Yahweh God. I remember that Jesus that was crucified on the cross. I remember how the whole city of Jerusalem was in a state of shock about 6 a.m. in the morning. I remember when they said that tombstone rolled away and that man called Jesus has been seen walking around. And there's about 500 people that were raised from the dead and they're out in the city going around meeting their families and talking with them again. Say, matter of fact, you know, listen, man, they're still praising him. What's that feeling? What's that feeling? The ground began to shake. Come, can your praise shake the ground where the enemy has infested? Can your praise move the powers of hell out of the way? Can your praise change the circumstances? Can your praise break the chain, loose the stocks, set people free? Uh-huh. The Bible said, somebody say, the Bible said, the Bible said that everyone stocks fell off. Everyone was set free. See, your praise holds back other people's freedom. That's why it's so important on Sunday mornings for people to gather right here. With these two antennas lifted high and you're there, you don't care who's watching, who's looking, and you may just want to jump. You may just want to just, you know, twirl, whatever that you may want to do. Somebody say, you put your praise on and you go for it. And you begin to praise him because what happens is that the heavenlies begin to get affected. See, what I truly believe is that the Lord of the angel armies of heaven had released his horses and chariots That's what was causing the ground to shake as they rode into the town of Philippi, where Paul and Silas were. Can you feel, anybody ever been around where the herd of horses running? Oh, it's beautiful, praise God. With all those chariots and those wheels rumbling, praise God. They come rumbling down through the city streets, praise God, where the demon was cast out of that girl. They rode right through that visible wall because they were invisible creatures made by the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus. Come on, somebody. They rode into that prison and they first set Paul and Silas free, and then they loosed everybody else in the house. My God, my praise is more powerful than the powers of hell. Your praise is greater than the warfare that you face. Your praise can break the gates of hell. Your praise can lift you up out of your despair and touch everything around you and change it. Instantly, suddenly, it shifted. It shifted. I know last week, when we were in Georgia, I could tell. I was going down to get baptized. I didn't need to get baptized. I went to get baptized, but something already happened to me before I got in the water. I had an encounter with the presence of God. And so I'm like, man, God, I feel good. I didn't even mention this to Deborah. I wanted to see if what she was going to say anything, you know. I was like, man, something shifted. Something shifted. And it was like I told the people in prayer meeting, you know, my God, I'll tell you what, it's good to come here and see 30-some people in a prayer meeting screaming to the top of her voice. Walked in here and I told him, I said, something shifted yesterday. I felt it in the heavenlies. I felt something shift in the heavenlies. I'm going to tell you what that is. The devil's on the run. America's getting ready to experience revival. God specifically told me this morning, I've got it written down. Get your eyes off of Antifa. Get your eyes off of the Black Lives Matter. Get your eyes off of these white idiots out here that are doing stupid stuff. Get your eyes off of the hell that's breaking out. When you see these things begin to come to pass, start looking up. Your redemption is drawing near, praise God. You got to get your eyes on heaven. Hallelujah. You got to look heavenward. Paul and Silas in the midst of their hell. Oh, come on, somebody. They lifted up their voice. They got their eyes on heaven. They began to praise him. Hallelujah. They began to shout and glorify his name. Yes. Hallelujah.
I wonder if Dustin would get up here and play something happy, happy, happy.
Come on, Dustin. I'm going to give you a chance. Come up here and make that thing squall. Bruce, did you leave it on? Okay, we're going to crank that thing up. Listen, it's all good. Listen, God's setting people free right now. The Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to heal people Sunday morning. Listen, they're going to be healed and not even know they got healed until they try to find where the problem was. And it's going to be gone. Somebody say hallelujah. Listen, people are being delivered from depression today. The oppressive works of darkness are being destroyed. Amen. The power of the living God is present right here, right now, right here, right now. He's moving. He's moving. He's moving. He's moving. He's moving. He's moving. And the Holy Ghost, all he's saying is the answer is this. The answer is don't cry. Well, the Bible says weeping endures but a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's right. But most people want to quote that. He's bottling up my tears. I'll tell you what. He's got enough of mine bottled. I want the joy that comes in the morning. I want the joy that comes right now. Somebody said you want it right now. Yeah, why? Because joy is the mark of the church. Joy is the thing the church needs. Oh, come on. Joy is what builds you up and lifts you up. Come on. Joy, 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 joy. Come on. Joy is what does it. The power and the presence of the Lord. Yeah. You gotta have it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Come on. I'd rather have 3 seconds in God's presence than to go to the mall and spend all day long. Listen to me. All the mall's going to do is wear you out.
But in his presence is the fullness of joy, at his right hand pleasures forevermore. That's our God. In his presence. I said in his presence.
So think about it this morning. See, listen. If we sit around and think about the darkness that's spreading, which we as Christians already know it is. We've known for thousands of years. God says, this is the time for you to shine. This is the time for you to lift up your voice like a trumpet. This is the sound. I was telling Daryl yesterday. I was telling some people, I said, all that stuff is happening right up there. I said, Daryl's supposed to be right in the middle of it. He's supposed to be saying, I got a dream.
Yeah.
I got a dream. Come on. For the black and the white and the red and the Hispanic and all creeds are going to walk together. Come on. I've got a dream that these walls are coming down. Yes. And Antifa, yes, and the Black Lives Matter that are under the guise of a lie from hell, yes, that want to discount every creation that God's ever made. That stuff is coming down in the name of Jesus. It's going to come down by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the power of the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen. He's got it in him. It just needs to come out. I said it just needs to come out. Fire! It just needs to get released. Amen. That thing, the power and the presence of the Lord. We act like we don't even have a God. Look, he turned the water to wine. He split the Red Sea. He dried up the river so you could walk through it. Are you listening? And he said, the waters are not overtaken. The rivers are not overflow you. The fire will kindle upon you, but you shall not be burned. Come on. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all things that are therein. This God that's tipping over his bucket of the Holy Ghost and pouring out his spirit in these last days upon every soul that will open themselves up wide and say, fill me up, Jesus. Fill me up. Come on, cry out to him. Say, fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Jesus. My Lord. How bad do you want it? How much do you want this? How much do you want it? Oh, my God. Lay your hands on your belly. Say, Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Overflow me with the Holy Ghost. I need you, Holy Spirit. Fill me up, Lord. Overflow my life, Jesus. I need more of you in this hour. More grace. More grace. More grace. Hallelujah. My God. My God. My God. Let's see. What is your name? Joe? Joe and Rachel. I see the Spirit of the Lord on you. And the Lord says he has chosen you for a specific work to do. He says be sensitive to that. And he said because you're going to enter a time of training, a time of learning. And I don't know, I'm not talking about going to college and stuff like that. I'm talking about like hands-on experience, because God is going to fashion and form you and do some things in you that are going to blow your mind in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I see that coming. Come down here. I want to pray for you guys. Come on, pray for you. I want to pray for you. My God, I need some ushers. Amen. Joe? Rachel. Okay, I was going to say Cindy. I knew that one right. Joe and Rachel. Great names. Praise God. Great names. Amen. Amen. I don't know anything about you, but one of the things I see is the fire of God. I see the fire of God. That fire is burning out all the other fires. That fire is putting back everything that's been depleted. That fire is bringing restoration. That fire is burning away the chaff of the enemy, yes, the things that he has sinned against your life. That fire, says the Lord, is going to so change you that in the next 6 months, you're going to look back and say, I cannot even believe that that was me. I cannot believe this. Amen. I want you to raise your hands up. Father,
in Jesus' name. Full. Full, Jesus. Receive. Receive in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you today. Fire. Holy Ghost. Oh, receive. Hallelujah. Jesus. Somebody praise him. Yes, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. Don't worry about me. Just do it. Just take off. I got to get something to drink. You're being loosed from everything. Being loosed from everything. Somebody say, I'm loosed. I'm loosed. I see the glory in here. I see Donald Trump over there, but I'm looking through a fog. I had a lady come in here a couple of about 3 or 4 Wednesday nights ago. She came in here and she turned around and saw that. She went over there. I knew when I saw her, she wasn't a Trump fan. And she went back over here and she turned and she went, he's sitting over going. Then she came back. Then she came back. I watched her fish. She went. I think she's trying to figure out whether it's real or not. I started saying on the microphone, we're going to do some really big things. We got a really big God. We got a really big God. We're going to do some really big stuff this year. It's going to be a really big election. Are we offline? I don't care. I don't care. It won't be the first time. Woo! Northam, you need to give your heart to